Good afternoon, everyone, or at least I think everyone. I can't see through these bright lights, but looks like there's a nice late afternoon crowd to come and find out about Skype for Business IT Pro and what we're doing with tools for IT admins to be able to deploy, manage, and check up and support Skype for Business. I'm Anton Krantz, Group Program Manager for the IT Pro product group in Skype for Business. And we'll really be focusing today on showing you what we've done recently, what's coming, to deliver tools that meet the goals of what was shown in that vision video. And to do that, I'll be joined by Suni, my colleague, Suni Sujajo, who will be doing some demos as well. But we really want to show you how we think about the IT Pro and the things that IT admins need to do to be able to deploy and manage what is becoming an increasingly complicated communications infrastructure. And we think about, if you think about that vision video that I just showed, that really encapsulates how we think about being able to do what is an increasingly mission-critical and complex job. And it has a lot more to it than just turning of knobs and settings to get users provisioned. There's much more that a Skype for Business IT Pro wants to do and needs to do for their business, and the tools that they need to have to be able to perform at that level are really key to what we're trying to build in this group. So I'll go through that approach, I'll go through the life cycle, we'll talk about recent product updates, and then we'll focus on a couple of key areas. This is by no means the full surface area of the product, but some of the key areas that are critical to a deployment of a Skype for Business voice conferencing meetings deployment, things like managing call quality, being able to see reporting across the board, being able to manage policy and configuration, because it's essential for you to be able to choose what settings your users do get, to be able to control them by region and to know that they are operating within the framework of the policies that you want to grant them. And then we'll also talk about our IT Pro Tools Partner Program. Partners in this space are very key for us and key for customers as well in being able to deploy and manage Skype for Business, and we'll show you where we are with that program and what's coming. So to start with, the vision that we started with, which is encapsulated in that video, when we started looking at Skype for Business Online, knowing that we were building what is now E5 that launched in December of last year, we wanted to think about a unifying vision that we could say is guiding us as we've released E5, but also everything that we're building on top of it, because E5 is not just a point-in-time release. There are successive waves that will just keep coming with enhancements. Along the lines of being able to empower the IT pro to deliver business value by enabling them to onboard, manage, and drive engagement of Skype for Business as a mission-critical service they can bet their job on. And there are a lot of key concepts in that sentence. Being able to deliver value is key. It's not just about managing a deployment at the lowest total cost of ownership. It's how do you go back to your business and say, there is value in actually being able to have this communications infrastructure, not just in reduction of help desk calls, for example, but in how much actual usage you get and how much productivity you gain and how the business derives value. Across the full life cycle, so that's the onboard, manage, and drive engagement. And then Skype for Business is increasingly a mission-critical service, and we take that very seriously, that is a responsibility that all of you who are onboarding to Office 365 and Skype for Business in the cloud, you're entrusting us with, and that's important because it's mission-critical. There are a lot of key people who depend on this infrastructure working always. So in the context of that, we do think about the modern IT pro lifecycle. It's not just about discrete tools at discrete points in time to do your job, but it's about how they work throughout that lifecycle. And we think about it all the way from the beginning, which is to make a decision to even buy Skype for Business or to roll out a new service. How do you do that? Being able to solve discovery, evaluation, trial, etc. And there are a lot of customer-facing or market-facing tools and products on our websites that show you how to do that. But it really starts, the work really starts when you have to plan your deployment, all the way from assessing to figuring out the sizing of it to what settings you'll need and what policies you will need for your business to deploy. And that can vary by department, it can vary by region. It's a very complex space to get policy and configuration right, so that's really key. The outcome at the end of that is to be ready for deployment and to be able to assert that you're ready for deployment. so that once you've gone and turned on the switches, you don't then find out that you don't have enough capacity, or there are call quality issues in certain network segments, or you don't have the right devices. The goal of a proper, a well-executed planning phase is to make sure that when you say it's ready to go, you can trust that it is, and your business can trust that it is. Then in the deliver phase, that's when you're actually onboarding users, you're onboarding services, getting the whole service running at full capacity as it rolls out progressively, depending on your size of company. Could be in multiple regions across the world, or it could just be for a 10, 15-person company. But either way, in the deliver phase, you want to be able to know at the end of that that you've set up, you've configured all your users, you've onboarded your services, and you are ready for first usage. The next phase is one where I think we all spend the majority of our time, which is in the operate phase. It's everything around monitoring, supporting, and managing the service. And the tools that you need there need to be very sophisticated, particularly with a global scale online service, to be able to have you keep to be able to keep on top of everything that's happening, on top of the masses of data that are available in that service, so that you can actually draw insights from them that you can take action on. And then finally, the optimize phase. So if the operate phase was about enabling you to operate the service at the lowest total cost of ownership, so per unit cost, being able to get that lowest for your users, being able to optimize your service is really about being able to obtain a return on investment. As I was mentioning earlier, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, my goal is not to have a help desk call. That's not a goal, that's hopefully an objective. But everybody does say, or would want to say, can we deliver value to the business overall? So it's thinking beyond just operating the service, but how do you optimize it? And the way you can be doing that is you can be onboarding new users, you can be onboarding new services, you can figure out that there are some cost advantages in deploying a new conferencing service, for example. But it's all goaled around extracting maximum usage for the service you are deploying. So that's the way we think about the life cycle, and that informs all of the tools and the product enhancements that we make to the product in Skype for Business. So with that in mind, we're taking a look at the product updates since an indeterminate time, but this is probably around Enterprise Connect. These are the key updates that we've made to the product across all of those phases at the life cycle. And as you can see, it's really critical to be able to invest across the board. You'll find that there's probably a bit more investment in the operate phase early on, and some tools are starting to ramp up that augment the planning and optimize phase. But as we make those investments, we do think about the whole life cycle and make sure that we cover all of it. The reason I've highlighted these plan, deliver, operate, and optimize phases is because that's where the IT pro is really spending the bulk of their time, with tools that are available through our admin portals or through partners. So on the planning side, we have provided some updates for bandwidth planning and being able to size your network correctly to be able to know how much bandwidth you need is very important. And we've just announced this week, and we'll be demoing later this week, the online network assessment tool. Because one of the things that is key about onboarding to Skype for Business, whether it's on-premise but particularly online, is to make sure that you've done your network segment assessments correctly, to be able to know that you've got capacity, that there are no hotspots, that there are no choke points. Because as we all know, if you have any of those, they will start to evidence themselves in a call. And what will happen is your user will report that, well, I'm using the client or the device, so that's where the problem must be, whereas in fact, what it really tends to be is there's somewhere in the network is a choke point that is being heard through something that can play audio, which of course is a device. And what's critical is for the Skype for Business admin to be able to know that, to be able to know where the network needs to be fixed, whether they also manage the network themselves, or as often happens in large companies, there's a different department that manages the network. So if the one doesn't know what the other's doing, you may have these unintended service glitches that a network assessment tool is really critical to be able to check to know that you can address those ahead of time. So that's the plan phase. And we do have partners who will demo some today who provide network assessment tools that are very sophisticated and have been in the space for a long time and augment the Skype for Business deployment very well. In the deliver phase, it's all about being able to configure users and services, so the flexibility of being able to do that is critical. And we've recently done a lot of work in the custom policy area in the online service so that you can configure your company your way. Some people may have a different meeting policy than others, and you may have very good reason for that. And it really isn't up to us to say that there is a one-size-fits-all policy for every company out there. We have a good set of defaults, but if you want to customize your own and set your own, that's definitely what we're doing with custom policy, both on the client, the user, and the conference, which is the meeting side. In addition to that, there's not one role that fits all. So if you've used Skype for Business online right now, there's really only one administrative role. Just by show of hands, how many of you are currently using the Skype for Business admin center? Good, a few there. So as you may know, that there's only one role right now. So if you want to say that I want an admin who can look at some things and not others, set some policies but not others, or look at some help desk information that's got personally identifiable information in it, that hasn't been available, but we are adding that into the product. So that's what enhanced role-based access control is. And then also support for Office 365 administrative units, which is another investment along that line. So if you're deploying Office 365, Skype for Business, Exchange, SharePoint, the full suite, then you're able to manage within one administrative framework, which is really important to be able to have a consistent administrative experience. In the deliver phase, migration is also important, whether it's migrating from the on-premise service to online, or in fact from other vendors. You may have an Avaya Voice deployment, you may have a Cisco deployment, and then being able to get them those users and their devices, or migrate the users onto Skype for Business and have the settings come over as well, is key. And we have partners who help in the migration, and Suni's going to show some of those later in the session. Then in the operate phase, we've got a whole host of tools. Most of these we'll actually go through. I'll just touch on them now because we will be talking about them. For call quality, we have CQD, call quality dashboard online. We've also introduced call details. I talked about help desk and how important it is to be able to look up an individual call there. We also fit within the enhanced role-based access control scheme so that you can give an admin rights to look at just part of the service and not the rest of that, to keep yourselves secure and locked down. You may have heard about some of our investments in providing call detail, call usage. We're calling that call analytics, and that's currently running in preview. Just by show of hands, how many of you have heard about call analytics and previewing of call details? Show of hands. So a good few, but I'll show you a demo of that right now after this, where you can have a look at what we're making available from our service data so that you can get these insights I was talking about to be able to see what's going on in your deployment. And in the optimized phase, we've had a host of reports that have come out since December, both on the Office 365 integrated side, which is called usage reports for Skype, and then the PSTN reports if you're using our E5 calling plan and you want to be able to look at billing, who's making calls, to be able to control that. We've introduced those reports a few months back. So with that in mind, I want to focus on the first really key area of our investments in call quality management. As I said, it's really key for you to be able to have insight into this and to be able to manage the deployment so that you can do things like ensuring ahead of time that your deployment is in good shape for calls, but also if a user does call a help desk, because that will always happen, the last user calling the last help desk certainly hasn't been born, but you need to be able to have the information available at your fingertips to be able to look that up when that call comes in. So the way we think about call quality management is to be able to provide you with more detail and more insight than you have today, and that's what we mean by the term advanced analytics. And it's really needed to address the full needs of the IT pro. There isn't just one particular niche or one particular tool that really works here. You kind of need to have a look at this holistically. Because as I mentioned, if you're a help desk and that's all you worry about, then sure, you want to look at call details. But if you really are that voice expert whose full-time job it is in a large company to manage voice quality, you want to be able to look at these proactively. You want to be able to fix the network, the devices, the software versions your users are running, everything that goes into call quality across the board so that fewer and fewer users need to call help desk. So thinking about those two personas is really key in being able to have a call quality management approach. We really have two tools for the two ends of the spectrum, one call quality dashboard or CQD for proactively managing systemic call quality. And that's where you want to look at aggregate data. You're not as interested in the personally identifiable information or PII. And in fact, that needs to be scrubbed because you definitely don't want that leaking out into somebody who's looking at the CQD tool. But you want to be looking at this aggregate information and have guided investigations to figure out what are the hotspots that are happening so that we can go ahead and address them before a user experiences a call quality issue. And then, as I mentioned, the call details lookup, which is really key when users call a help desk, whether it's one that you manage directly or one that you have a vendor to manage on your behalf, to be able to see that information. And particularly if you do have vendors who manage help desk on your behalf, you want to make sure that you have an access model that ensures they only see what they need to and can't set things that you don't want them to. So that's the high-level approach to call quality. The first tool in that area is call quality dashboard, and we do have a talk on this tomorrow morning where my colleague William Looney will be walking you through this and giving you demos. But just to give you an overview of call quality dashboard and what it does and what its intent is, the focus there is really on finding the systemic infrastructure issues. It's based on the call quality methodology that we have been using internally within Skype since Skype for Business since before it was Skype for Business. It actually dates back to the Communicator R2 days, OCS R2 days, for those who remember. But it's really informed all of our investments in managing call quality since then. And call quality dashboard has been built on top of that methodology. We use aggregated information that's scrubbed of PII so that there's no risk of that leaking out, and provide default views that can help you guide your investigations. Because what often happens in call quality investigations, you're looking at a similar set of metrics over time to see how they're changing. And depending on what the hotspot is, you want to be able to control to configure custom views, drill in, pivot by a whole host of scenarios, whether it's location, network type, device type, et cetera. And as you can see there, we provide over 225 dimensions and 90 measures of call quality. So as a voice expert, you can really construct any view you want and any drill down scenario you want to look at a call quality issue. The next area is around call usage and details, and this is where I asked by show of hands earlier if you'd heard about our recent investments there. It was demoed yesterday at Gurdeep Singh Paul's general session, and this is really about being able to see aggregate usage information and then call quality detail for calls and for conferences. And what we've added to this is to be able to have a look at a predictive analytics, because we're getting to the point now where there's so much data that to have you make sense of it yourself, of course you can do it if you're an expert, but when you roll out these tools into the hands of less skilled professionals, which we're all going to have, you don't want them to be sifting through this information and figuring out what the grain of insight is. You want to be able to start providing some analytics to help them figure that out. And this is one of our first investments we're making in this area that we'll continue to add to. So call usage and details will be in preview in early 2017. We'll wrap up the engineering work for it at the end of the year, but of course not many people may be rolling it out exactly then. So think about early 2017 with general availability in the first half of 2017. And with that, what I'd like to do is actually jump in now and give you a demo so you can see. So firstly, just show of hands, how many of you have seen this screen before for predictive analytics? Good, so a few, but a lot in the room haven't yet. So this is really the tool set that we have we've built into the Office 365 Admin Center, specifically the Skype for Business Admin Center, to provide insights into our data. We're now at the point where the Skype for Business data that we have in our online service is so massive that to be able to get information from it and get your reports requires quite a bit of work, or you have to have built some custom tools to do it. And really what we need to be able to do is make that information available. We hear from a lot of you that that's the one thing that you want to be able to see, is how can we get some of these key insights and key views without having to go hunting for them. So what I'm showing you here is an overview of a deployment. This actually happens to be the Microsoft cloud deployment. So this is the one that I use myself every day at work, and over 40,000 of us do at Microsoft. You can see our concurrent enterprise voice usage. There's a peak there of about 2,000. And you can see our conference usage. So no surprise here that we are very meetings heavy. So our meetings workload is well over 10 times our voice workload, but both are critical. So at a glance, that helps me just see what's going on. But if I want to have a look at call quality, maybe what I want to be able to look at is, and let's just go back, 28 days here. What's the trend been like as the service has been adopted of call quality? So I can see that my volume in blue has followed a traditional weekly path, humps and hollows at weeks and weekends. And I can actually see that the call quality has kept track with it. In fact, the trend here is at about 99%. That shows me that as the service has been used over the last month, call quality has been operating at a good level. But I can also see the quality distribution of the breakdown of those calls. So the vast majority of them are in the 80% and above range, 90% and above range, and what we indicate as good calls here is about 95 to 97. But if there are any bad ones, I can click here and drill down on them very quickly. And I can go look directly into those calls. I'll show you another example in a bit, so I'll go down to the next, yeah. So also looking at enterprise voice, which is our calling, we can see the volume of calls in the last 30 minutes, last 24 hours, how many concurrent calls there have been, who the key users have been, and what the most dialed numbers have been in the last 30 days. Enables me to see at a glance what's going on in the service for any hotspots that I need to look at. But I can also have a look at a breakdown by scenario. So let's say that I want to see, and this is a very important view for network admins to take a look at, is what has my call volume been like across various segments, wired to wired, wired to PSDN, over Wi-Fi, PSDN, etc. So I can look at call volume there. But then I can also have a look at how those calls were rated. So what was the rating for wired PSDN? What was the rating for wired to wired as good calls? And across all of those scenarios. And the same for poor calls. Calls the system thinks were poor, where were they? The majority of them, of course, were on Wi-Fi. But being able to see that at a glance helps me be able to assess if there are any trends or emerging patterns that I need to do something about. So I mentioned that was for enterprise voice. The other thing I mentioned was conferences. And being able to look at your same overview. So as you can see, this is a very similar view to what I just showed. But you want to be able to see for your meetings as well what the volumes have been like for participants, overall conferences, failed join attempts that I may need to go and have a look at, conference by modality, so audio, video, chat, and app sharing. And then again, to be able to have a look at the heat map. To be able to see what times of day users are busiest. This is going to help me plan capacity or know if I have any capacity issues at my busy hours so that we can make sure that we're sized right for when those big loads do occur. And then we can also have a look at other views. Who are the busiest users for a variety of reasons? If you're familiar with Fast Track is a program we have for helping customers on board to Office 365. They're using the service quite a lot, as we would hope. We want to make sure that their call quality is good because they're the front end of onboarding customers to Skype for Business Online. We want to make sure that the network is sized right for their busy hours as well. But we also want to see if there are any lessons we can learn from them to help the rest of the organization adopt meetings more, to be more productive. So a few examples of why that view is helpful. Other views here, like what the distribution of participants is by number of participants. As you'd expect, the vast majority of our meetings have 10 people or fewer in them, but there are a few of these big ones that, again, you want to be able to keep on top of for when they happen. So just wanted to show you an overview, but there are literally hundreds of individual views that are all insights gleaned from the data that are presented in this page alone. And what's important to take away is we look at those insights and make sure that they match to things that you need to know in your business so that you can see them without having to go hunt for them. So the next scenario I mentioned is what happens if there is a bad call and a user calls help desk. So we'll have a look at SUNY. SUNY is one of these 40,000 users. And I can see what were her recent calls, what recent conferences she organized, which ones she attended, and an hour ago it looks like there was this bad call. So we'll have a look at that. And we can actually see, we flagged a few things about it. If you've had a look at our QoE data, there are literally hundreds of metrics there, but how do you make sense of the ones that you need to be paying attention to? So we flagged a few things about this call. SUNY was on the software client, so she was using a PC, call over Wi-Fi, and we've seen a few packet loss and degradation issues. These are network issues. Same thing. I was call over Wi-Fi, and again, we're flagging some network issues. And we flagged the QoE, quality of experience statistics, that are look like they're out of range and should be focused on. And we also saw, because we've mapped these to sites, that this was a call from the airport to the conference center. But what we've done here is we flagged the two things that look like they're most noteworthy about this call. Call experienced extreme packet loss, which could have had gaps in audio, and in fact they were. And the call quality rate was low, so that there was poor call quality. This would give me enough information at tier one to tell the user these were two calls over Wi-Fi. Given that they were probably over open public networks, you can expect that they weren't particularly managed. So that may be why you've had bad call quality. But what I could do is go back to the rest of her calls and see if they matched and this was just a local incident or part of a broader pattern. And if I want to have a look at all the information, I can click and drill down on that here. I can see what client version was used on the caller and the callee side, what device was used, all of the QoE metrics, what they were and what was flagged as being noteworthy. So all of the information is available from one dashboard, and you can provide that information to help desk and with the insights that they need to be able to support it. So that was an example of a call. I'll show you an example of a conference. So if I look at another colleague of mine, Raman, same view. You know, what were his overall calls like? They looked like they were of good quality. I look at his meetings he has organized, as well as his meetings he's attended, and I can go and click there into one of them and see who the participants were. If there was any issue particularly with this call, it looks like it had good average call quality. How long it lasted and so forth. But then actually be able to look at who was joined when. So we can see Raman was joined for the majority of time to this conference with audio. Other colleagues came and went as well. Some were joined just for a short period of time. That might be indication of an issue. It might be an indication that they just tuned in and tuned out. But you're actually able to see that on a time sequence to know where the issues are if you need to drill in on them. And if I do need to drill in on them, then I can look at the session details and get individual session information. For example, this user's call to the conference MCU, what was it like? Overall seemed to be fine, the quality rating was good, but it did say that there were a few incidences of round trip delays. And I can go into the session data for the conference just as I did for the call. So that's a quick overview of the call usage and detail analytics that we'll be providing. What do you guys think? Is that something that you think is useful to you in deploying Skype for Business? Great. Great. So preview coming early next year, and then general availability aiming for first half of the year. So let me switch to something else for a second, because I'm sure that there are a couple of you who wouldn't like to do anything unless there's a command prompt in front of it. So we've got PowerShell for that. What we've recently made available as of June, July, is you can actually get all of that information I showed you through PowerShell, which is great if you love PowerShell, as a lot of us do. But it's also great if you want to be able to extract that data and import it into your own reporting systems. Because one of the other key themes to think about as we think about IT Pro is it's not just what we provide you, it's also being able to give you the access to your data so that you can do with it whatever you need to. So what I've done here is an example, again, in the same Microsoft environment where I'm homed. I've just read into a variable the new commandlet get CS user session for myself going back about a few hours, find all of my user sessions, and I specifically said where the QoE data exists. So let me just scroll this way. Something's being truncated a little bit. I just basically said there where QoE data, it's just got a line feed on it. But that last statement just says where QoE report is not equal to null. That means where we have QoE data for this information. So what I can do is, because I've read it into a variable, I can just take a look at that. That went by pretty quickly. So let's have a look at the QoE report directly. And as you can see, we have a whole host of sections in the QoE report. So maybe I just want to have a look at the audio streams. And there they are, the network information that you saw earlier, the codec that was used, various audio levels. Or I can go and have a look at the trace routes if I want to see what network segments this call traversed. And there they are. So all of your information from the Skype for Business online service, you can connect to, you can extract, you can use it directly, you can import it into your own systems as you wish, and in a flexible way, you can get what you want however you want to use it. So how about that? Does that look like something you're interested in? Great. Well, I do want to show one more thing, because you think about that and you say, that's interesting. If only there was a report somewhere in our admin center that could show us that information. So we thought that would be a good thing to do. So we have a preview of what we're calling the session details report. I'm in the Skype for Business admin center here under the reports tab. And I'm looking at session details, which is currently in preview for a few tenants. And here I have, for myself, I queried over the last week. And I just said, get all of my sessions. And here they are listed. So if I want to have a look at one in particular, just scroll down here. This was a conference that I attended a week ago. It was an audio-video conference. I can look at the session details. See all of the information there. I can look at the audio streams, see all of the information there, and I can see the media lines negotiated as well. So that is visualizing all of the information that you saw in that user session details report broken down so that you can see it directly from the admin portal as well. So that's something that's currently in preview. We had aimed to make it available about a month from now, but actually looks like it's validating quite well, so we're going to push that out next week, available to you in your admin center. And while I am on this page, something else I'll touch on, because I did talk about the PSDN usage reports. If you've got the calling plan deployed and you're using us for your voice service, you want to be able to look at reporting on all your users and look at the billing information. And we've made that PSDN usage report available since, I think, end of June, beginning of July. And what you can do with this, because we've got the data and we've got it in a modern web control report, you can sort. So I can sort ascending, descending. Let me just click that. Sorry, click the right area. sort ascending, and then I could search for, I could filter on. International calls. Sorry, I'm just not clicking on the exact button, or let's just call domestic because that's the one that's showing on my screen. And filter on those. So that's the PSTN usage report again from the Office 365 Admin Center, available from the same Admin Center where we're providing those user session details as well. And as you can see, not lit up yet, but this tab, Call Details, takes you to everything I was just showing you earlier. And this is part of when we showed the IT Pro vision, being able to provide a single pane of glass, all information in one place. This is part of our direction in getting there. Great, so I hope that gave you an overview of call usage and details. Hopefully that's something that's useful to you. Does that look like something that you would use in managing your voice and meetings deployments? Okay, thanks. So these are online. I'll talk about on-premise a little bit later and how you can connect to, how you will be able to connect to this cloud service, because we really believe in being able to provide a unified set of tools. Sorry, I can't hear. Maybe at the end we'll have time for Q&A and you can ask at the microphones. I'll get to that question. So that was call usage in detail. There are other usage reports in Office 365 that we have integrated with. And an example there is within Skype for Business, we have the, within Office 365, we have the Office 365 Admin Center, which does a lot of reporting on usage of workloads, and we have integrated Skype for Business into the Admin Center natively. And all of the information you'll see there is provided through the MS Graph API, because as I mentioned, it's not just about showing you this information. In the majority of cases, seeing it is really all you may need, but in a lot of cases, you need to be able to get access to it to integrate with your systems for your own line of business applications. So in our roadmap and in our approach to IT Pro, you should think about that everything that we are providing you here based on data that's in our service, you should be able to have the same access to that data for the rest of your needs. So what I'm showing you here is the Office 365 Admin Center, of which Skype for Business was one workload within that. That's why the UIs, the banners, looked very similar. And as you can see, we've got email activity, we've got OneDrive, we've got SharePoint, and we now have Skype for Business. So what I can do there is see my usage by type, and I can go and look at overall activity. I can go and get to conference participant activity. And I can see here what modalities were used, whether it was IM, audio, video, app sharing, etc. So again, integrating the data, showing you service data, being able to see all the way from usage down to detail. And as I mentioned, programmatic access through MS Graph API. So that's on the reporting side. Everything I showed you there was about what can you do with the information that we have so that you can see it and take action on it. As I mentioned as well, it's also important to be able to configure your service the way you want. And a few updates that we've had in the time period I was talking about, which really dates from about March or so, are a few key ones. Multi-factor authentication, being able to use other schemes than username, password, not only for Skype for Business, but also if you are managing Office 365 all up, to be able to use the same authentication scheme. That's coming. The custom policy management I talked about for conference, client, and dial plans, as well as user settings. So we have a set of defaults. You may need more than the set of defaults. This provides you the ability of configuring your own choices for your own deployment, depending on whether you have different departmental settings, different regional settings, and so on. The additional admin roles I talked about, role-based access control, so that you can decide which admins get to see what, particularly the larger a company you are, the more you want to have role-based differentiation. And then multi-regional support for regionally hosted meetings. We announced in the keynote session yesterday that we are launching regionally hosted meetings where you can make sure that the meeting for your users in their local area, in their local region, is homed at a data center near them for enhanced performance, enhanced quality, and so on. And we've added multi-regional admin support. So with that, I'd like to turn over to Suni to walk through a few of the areas I showed you here so you can see the capabilities you'll have to configure this.
Thank you, Anton. I would like to go back to the PowerShell again. So here is the, as Anton mentioned, that there is a lot of improvement that we added to the admin console PowerShell itself, multi-factor auth. We provide the ability for the admin to do custom policy creation, assigning it. And I have my own session on this tomorrow, BRK3051. Please come if you like. I'm doing a shameless advertising of the session. But we are going to go through much more detail and deep dive on the PowerShell and would love to show you step by step. Here is a really quick demo on this area. So as you can see here, I do a GetCS online user, as you probably have seen. You can see that these users are in two regions. When it's empty, it's actually by default is NAM, which is North America, and some of the users are Europe. I have already pre-created the custom policy for this particular demo to save the time. Just to quickly run this PowerShell, you can see, for example, in here, Ken Alverson have no emoticons and no file transfer. So those the custom policy that I just created and assigned it, and I can assign them together without like have to change the different console to manage the user in different region. So really quickly, if I would like to set the policy before, you have to figure out what is the conferencing policy that's available for tenant. And you have good luck with that. There's a lot of them. You have to figure out which one is matched for your user. In here, you could just basically just set the conferencing policy. Just grant the conferencing policy that you created. Say, for example, I'm going to create one, assign one to Miu Miu who lives in Europe. And I would like her not to have file transfer, sorry. See, it's called no file transfer. Oh, I know. Give a little bit of time, and we will probably need time to propagate the policy. But as soon as it's see, you can see that the no file transfer has been assigned to Miu Miu now. Earlier, it has the BPOS all modality, and now I can create one, assign it specifically to Miu Miu. With that, I will put.
Okay, thank you. So there's really a lot more to that than met the eye, and please go to Suni's session tomorrow if you want to see all the ins and outs of policy management. It really is an area that's complex that needs to be made less complex, but it is key. With that in mind, I wanted to end with our IT Pro Tools partners. As I mentioned, it's not only the tools that we built, but we also have a set of specialized partners who do provide tools that are targeted for various scenarios that are critical for deployment. And we have an IT Pro Tools partner program that works with these key partners to develop tools, to certify them, and to ensure that they are ready for deployment of Skype for Business. So these are partners that we work with closely, who have subject matter expertise, who you have told us as customers that you use for your deployments, and that they have deep experience in networking, unified communications, or Skype for Business, as well as in voice and video. These are some of the key attributes of our partners. The IT Pro Tools program has some tool-specific categories and partners for them that map to our lifecycle and make sure that we have partner tools that can augment the ones that we provide. We evaluate the tools, we evaluate the partners, and we have a test plan and a certification program that's run by an independent third party that certifies that the tools do what they claim to and that we have certified them for. So our key partners have delivered a host of tools over the last year or two, across the life cycles that I mentioned, plan, deliver, operate, and optimize. IR has Prognosis for unified communications to help in the planning phase. In the deliver phase, Unify Square has Power Suite for provisioning, and we've recently certified Unimax that SUNY's gonna show. IR, Prognosis, also helps in the operate phase. Event Zero Operations provides a lot of those views that I showed you earlier as well. They have a tool that's focused very heavily on visualizing the on-premise data. There was a question earlier around what we're doing for on-premise or what's available. So you can see how partner tools can augment already an on-premise deployment. And then Nectar has Unified Communications Foundation. In the optimized phase, getting insight into your usage data, Event Zero has Operations. Nectar's tool works there as well. And Dell has UC Command Suite, also new certified. So that was for on-premise. We also have the online category, which we've recently launched, and our first partners have been certified for online or about to be in time for Ignite. So IR Prognosis for Unified Communications, certified in time for Ignite, and Nectar is in progress of doing the same. We focused for online and ensuring that we have tools to help with network assessment. There's a lot more information at our website, partnersolutions@skypeforbusiness.com. Please take a look, and please visit all of our partner booths on the expo floor. And with that, I'd like to turn over to SUNY again to show you a demo of the few tools that have been recently certified.
I would like to welcome Unimax as our provisioning on-prem IT Pro Tool partner. And here is I would like to demo their tools that just recently has been certified. One thing that I can call out about Unimax is it's a multi-vendor single pane of glass, which manage Avaya, Cisco, and Microsoft system together in one tool. For example, in here, if you expand Avaya system, you can take a look at all their dial plan and their configuration, the similar way of their Denver UCM users and phone. They are able to manage the configuration of their HUN groups and in one place. For the Microsoft system, they manage the Active Directory, Skype for Business, and also Microsoft Unified Messaging, which is which take care of our voicemail. So in here, I will go through the Anaheim Skype for Business, take a look at the user, and here is the users that has been enabled and also have the information for the user, which actually live in both ways. It's enabled by Skype for the Business, but it also still have some Avaya tools in her desk. So for example, in here, Alda, I can try to take a look at her information. You can take a look at all the policies that Skype for business uses. At the same time, we can actually take a look at their Avaya information. So This particular user, and her name is Alda Burns, a particular device that she's using. Moving on, I would like to show their ability to do number inventory that has been asked by our customer a lot, to manage the range of numbers and the availability. The report is also customizable based on like what data you would like to have. I would like to call in their Skype for Business provisioning here. They provide templates, so for user in here that would like to be apply a template, the predefined template that they already make, they can actually say, okay, I'm looking for a specific user here. So N Brown, and I would like to pick the extension that she would like to, that's available to assign to her. In here, for I find one for Miami, and I hit OK, and it will be assigned to her directly. So moving on. This is one of the other way to do the migration. So for example, you can do a migration through template. Create a template earlier that you already save it. This is to move the user from Avaya to our Skype for Business. We pick the station of the Avaya, we load them. And then we hit OK. Now all of these people become Skype for Business enabled. This is one of the way to migrate and provision the user in online. So the second partner that we would like to welcome is Dell on the reporting aspect of it. We have certified Dell very close, actually, to certifying Dell, like 95% on their completion, on their usage, feature adoption, and the reporting. This is the one that I'm going to do the demo. So here is an example of how you can make use of the usage reporting to manage your adoption in your team. You can take a look in here that the adoption of Skype for Business getting up, and you can take a look which department has adopted Skype for Business more than the others. And this will be like something that you can encourage other department to work on their team to adopt Skype for Business. Besides that, you can actually take a look at their feature adoption as well. What is the feature adoption that's being used most common by the department, by display name, by the office, the city, and again, you can take a look at in here, what is the last 28 days, what is the number of adoption, whether it's going up, whether it's going down. I love their reporting. Another thing is you could actually take a look at the charge. Why is it possible? Because Dell has combined the AD data and integrated the data from AD and Exchange and also Skype for Business together to create this reporting site. So when you're using one of their chargeback application, a big company, sometimes they get charged for the amount of internet they use, they could easily help you identify which department should it actually be built to. Based on the usage, and it's modifiable how much it costs per charge per minute per second. So with that, I'm done showing the demo of our new partner on reporting, Dell. And I will move on to the new online partner, which is IR Prognosis. So IR Prognosis has the tool that helps assess our Microsoft Skype for Business Edge. Here is the area where you can configure what site that you would like to assess. In here, we have New York, Sydney, Denver, London, and their Ignite booth. You can configure what kind of, really quickly, what kind of media would you like to do? Audio, video? Once you configure that, you could actually start running your assessment and check what is how's your connectivity between your tenant to the nearest Microsoft Edge or the Edge that you pick. In this case, for example, you see that between Sydney and Melbourne, you're seeing a red color here. So that means there is a problem with their loss. And if I click on that, it will give me the information of what is the problem in that particular area, what is, sorry, let me repeat this one. That will bring the hop-to-hop internal within the tenant network, internet, and then within Microsoft network itself. When we want to drill down, they provide reporting with suggestion of how to prescribe and how to address the problem. It happened to be I picked the one that doesn't have any problem, so everything looks good. If this is the real-time data being provided by IR for online network assessment. Really quickly, this is the result as a summary result of the network assessment. You can pull it out in here as an Excel spreadsheet, and it will look like something like this. With that, I'm done with the IR online network assessment. Congratulations again. And last but not least, I would like to show Nectar. So Nectar has been our partner since on the on-prem program for network assessment, and they are on their way in working for their certification on the online IT Pro network assessment. So one thing that I would like to call on here is the triangle here is representing a test that monitored the UC quality from the network between two customer sites here, the demo one and demo two, against the Microsoft Cloud in Azure. So the way that the test is done right now is Nectar will provide a prospective agent that needs to be placed properly where the flow of the network we would like to identify whether there's a problem or not. As we can see in here, everything looks good, but in case that we see that it has been turning red, we can click on it, and then it will provide the information. This is one way toward Microsoft Azure, and this is the other way coming back from the Microsoft Azure. And here is the information that they are tracking. Red in here is just a color code for that particular metrics. It doesn't mean it's bad, because if it's bad, it will show here as a red. And you can configure your threshold in this particular configuration tab, and you could also create a report based on what you have seen through the network assessment tool by Nectar. With that, I am done with the tools partner demo. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Thanks, Suni. That was great. And we'll leave some of this content in the deck in slides afterwards so that you can take a look at it. And also, please do visit the partners. There's a lot of detail there that we had to skip through pretty much, but please do take a look at what they offer and see how they can help you. So with that, just to recap what we've done, I want to open up for time for Q&A, and please do come to these other sessions that have more information on call quality and on provisioning. And please do complete an eval form. I do appreciate everyone staying here till about 5 o'clock. But with that, please do come to questions, come to the microphones if you can. So please open up for Q&A. I hope you found this session useful. Thank you for coming.
So I have one.
Yeah, question.
So one question regarding the source of the information. In the beginning, you showed the tools which are online. The question is whether the in a hybrid deployment.
Sorry.
In a hybrid deployment, if you have hybrid, are you also collecting those tools? Can collect also information from the on-prem deployment as well.
So, question about that was online information. What about hybrid and on-premise information? What we're planning on doing is enabling you to connect to that service. So, we believe in providing a unified service that you will be able to see that information. Currently, you do have access to on-premise information because the customer deploys it directly and you can access the databases directly. What we will aim to do is to enable you to connect that to the service so that you can see it in one place. Thanks. Any other questions? Sorry, something about LCA branded? I can't. If you can come to a microphone, that would help. Anyone at the mic while you come? Are you? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Are you going to retain the dossier branding?
Probably not. No. Thank you.
So just to clarify on reporting, so what we saw today, you can't use those tools for on-prem instances, even in a federated or a hybrid, you know what I mean, engagement.
Can we use these in the on-premise today? This is online.
Yeah.
The focus has been providing this information online because it wasn't available.
Sure. But long term,
Just explaining that the current situation is it's online only. We will be adding down the road ability to connect on-premise data to it.
So, and you mentioned that we have the database. Do you have any recommendations on third parties or any tools to mine that database in a similar fashion?
So that's where looking at our tools partners is a great place to
Nectar
look. They
and
provide
like that.
A lot for the on-premise database.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. One behind you.
Regarding the creation of custom policies and MFA PowerShell, when is that available?
So that's coming this quarter. To be able to do custom policy. Some of it has already actually been lit up. Client policy has already been done. Conferencing policy is coming, and then multi-regional support later this year.
It'll just be those two policy types?
No, we've actually got all of them. Client, user, is already done. Meeting policy is coming, which is the conference policy. And then regional support is coming as well.
Okay, and the MFA support?
Sorry?
And the MFA support for PowerShell?
Baseboard I'm not familiar with. Maybe you can ask. Later. I'll follow up with you later. Other question?
I have one more. So for call center reporting, like accepting calls and rejecting calls and things like that, is that something that you have on the roadmap in a year, or is that not part of that product?
It's not part of that product, but we do have call center offerings through partners who use our platform, and they'll continue to. There are a lot of great partners to look at there through our ISV program.
Okay.
Who will provide those.
Yeah, thanks.
Back there.
Do you guys have any tools that you use to introduce any of the MOS metrics into calls for like testing or like validating monitoring tools?
That tools for validating metrics or validating calls?
I mean something to introduce round trip delay, jitter,
Loss. Tools that can introduce
that into a call intentionally.
Yeah, we don't have those. We don't have those tools. Don't have them available. Certainly something to look at if you find that as a useful thing.
On your demo, you showed like there was a call quality problem on that one connection between the two sites in Georgia. Is there any way to say that it was definitely due to the Wi-Fi connection or the WAN or the LAN, as far as kind of like diagnosing like the segment where the call quality issue resides? Yeah.
So depending on the issue, that's where some of the tools that Suni showed from our partners will help you go into hop by hop. So you saw our tool does show you trace routes. So you would be able to see directly where any hop was particularly longer than another. And partners can augment that with diagnostics for why any particular hop may have an issue. In the case that I showed you there, it was enough to tell Tier 1 that at least we knew where the problem was and whether there was any further action to take on it, or if they could just say, yep, you seem to be outside the network and it was in an unguaranteed network, that may have been the issue. But then you can certainly look at partner tools to help you drill down even further.
Thank you. Great presentation. You had mentioned that there was going to be a network analytic tool. It was going to be released here in a week.
Yes.
What's the name of the tool?
You're testing me now. It's probably something like Skype for Business Network Assessment Tool. But there's
It'll be branded, blah, blah, blah.
Yes. There is a session on Friday that will actually demo it. Look for a session by Cornel Willens.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, any more questions? Okay, thanks very much. Thanks for coming.